This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Kevin and I want to open up the text lines today. We'll be opening up the phone lines shortly as well for anybody that wants to call in and have a discussion about what went down yesterday, man, and how they feel emotionally about it. And it's kind of a real sobering feeling to lose somebody at that point in their so close to their primes and so close to going in another direction with the rest of their life, Kevin. I think that's the thing for me that's the most difficult, and I'll get into that a little bit more, but I do kind of want to recap like this part of it, if that's okay. If
you're sure.
All right, so Kobe and one of his daughters, Gianna, they were on a helicopter. They were going to basketball games at the Mamba Academy. on the flight with them, on the helicopter with them, were a number of other people as well. Sarah Chester and her daughter, Peyton, a middle school student. Chester, I do believe, was one of the coaches with the Mamba Academy. And there was also John Altobelli and his wife, Carrie, their daughter, Alyssa, as well. And so there were a number of people on there, and they were just going to go to some basketball games.
Sure.
I don't know. Did you see the picture of the arena or the courts?
Oh, no, I did not.
There's a picture of the entire place. They are all awaiting Kobe and Gianna to get there and for the rest, so the games could start and be part of it and everything. And it appears in this picture, there's one person like telling everybody what's going on or talking to them about it. And the entire place, on courts, on the sidelines, of course, across baselines, everybody in the entire place is on a knee. Because that's what you do, right? If you're a coach, you say, everybody take a knee.
I mean, especially, you have to imagine, like, those people are all super, super close. You spend all of your, I mean, you spend a lot of your free time with those people.
Basketball parents, yeah. Soccer parents, we're all the same, man.
I mean, it's not just the games. Like, oh my God, it's the practices, it's the text chains, it's the email chains, you spend a lot of time with these people.
And in addition to that, Kevin, like a lot of parents, I believe you've seen it whenever you have that one guy that's maybe a celebrity with the parenting group. And when the way he kind of approaches it, a lot of people look at it and go, okay, maybe that's how I should approach it. Bannister used to say, don't coach your kids. Let the coach coach your kids. You advise, you be a father. And that was one of the things I took from Bannister that always, like, I sit back and I watch. And Kobe, you could see with his daughter, that was how he went about it. And so they were all kind of that celebrity part of it. They were waiting it. But they also, like you said, got close to him a bit, because they were around him enough, and he was welcoming and warming in that respect of being able to allow people to learn about the game through his eyes.
And especially, I did want to throw one other thing out there, is like, you stop talking about all of that other stuff. Like, you just have normal conversations,
yes,
with him. Like, you know, we get the opportunity, and this is like obviously a significantly lower scale, we get the opportunity to talk with so many awesome Tolos about, like, hey, do you like your job? What about the Cowboys? Like, all that stuff. And that's, yes, super cool. But, like, how many of the regular people in your life or in your kids' life that you spend a lot of time with, how often does that ever come up anymore? Like, not a lot, right?
Right.
You're talking about, like, all this other stuff. And so I'm sure that they knew Kobe on a much different level that goes beyond, like, man, you're the reason I got into basketball, or you're the reason I love the sport, or you're the reason I wore 24 or number 8 or whatever it is. You know, like, I'm sure they talked about, like, oh, what do you really think? Is your daughter still having trouble in math, or, you know, like those kind of things. And that makes it feel like, I mean, obviously for them, the hurt is on a different level.
I was emceeing something on Saturday, and I had a number of fathers that go to my kids' school all there with me. And some of them I had not met yet, and I don't want to, like, you know, fanboy too much, but I'm a huge Tolo. Awesome. And I'm glad you're here, and I appreciate it. And yeah, my job's a blast, but then you get past that part of it, and you realize there's a lot of discussion that goes on. By the way, Christina Mauser was also a girls' basketball coach at a nearby private elementary school. She was on the plane or on the helicopter as well. And her husband posted, "My kids and I are devastated. We lost our beautiful wife and mom today in a helicopter crash."
You know, and I was having a conversation with my girlfriend about this yesterday, and you know, you saw the report initially come out on, I mean, where I saw it was on ABC News, and that's where I saw everybody, you know, freaked out about it, is the initial report was that all four of his kids, I don't know if he just had another, a fifth child, but the four kids had all died with, yeah. And I was just like, oh my God, because I don't even know how you would go on in life after that. You know, like, let's say you're Vanessa. This is going to be beyond anything I can fathom, like how you regroup with your life. But the one thing that you can say is you can find a reason to live. And by the way, if any of our Tolos are like from an unbelievably differential backgrounds and have different histories. If you've ever had a child die or anything like that, I would be really interested to get your feedback on this. So I can't even begin to fathom how she builds her life back up. But the one thing I will say is at least she can look at her other kids and go, I have to for them. You know, I don't want to pick myself up today, or I don't want to get dressed today, or I don't want to leave the house today, but I have to for these kids. And so that is the only saving grace I could think of in this situation, because if all of her kids and her husband died, I have no idea how a person would function after that. Like, ever. I don't mean tomorrow. I don't mean next week. I don't mean next month. I don't mean next year. I mean ever. If your husband and all of your kids had died, I have no idea how you would ever function in the world ever again.
It would be the loneliest place ever.
And so the only thing I can think of is thank God that, like, she, hope, I pray that she has something that can drive her to, I will get dressed today for the girls, or I will go out today for them, for them, for them. That is the only, like, it's hard to find something good out of this. That is the only thing that I could think of.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, Kevin, like, it's sobering to come into work and the top headline is that an iconic sports star that moved the needle for everybody, like,
sure,
whether you liked him or not,
absolutely,
is dead at an age that's very close to our own. If you're our age, and I'm 38, Kevin, you're 40.
40.
Wow. if you're our age, you grew up in your 20s with Kobe, your 18s with Kobe.
Sure.
I remember what, you know, we finally started watching this kid. I was like, all right, he's going to be something. But he grew into, you know, that imitation Michael Jordan. And like, my biggest frustration with all this is I was really starting to like him more. I was never a big Kobe fan. I admired him from afar, but I very much hated that he had skill and drive and quite simply the success that he had.
Yeah.
But he worked for all of it. And so I don't know that you can't respect the work that he had. This new version that we were starting to see, Kevin, and I don't know if you feel the same, but I admired this new version even more because he was becoming like an ambassador of the game globally. And honestly, he may have been the perfect person for it because growing up overseas, speaking 85 different languages, being such a cultured person the way he was, he seemed like the perfect ambassador, and he seemed like he wanted to do it. He decided that he was not just going to leave his legacy on the court that he played on. He decided that he was going to make an impact in others who he saw had that desire, that edge, the mentality, that Mamba mentality that it took to succeed. You could see that beyond that with the Mamba Academy. He did these videos where he broke people down in their games, and you know what? He didn't just call them out. He sent texts to them. He sent messages to them. He kept in touch with people in the game because he saw that they wanted that drive. And with Phil Jackson, right? Phil Jackson had this visualize everything, Zen mentality, and he learned a lot from that. And he thought that if I use my mind, I can achieve it. And he reached out to those players because with his words, his presence alone, he tried to motivate them. And he loves sports, and we love sports. I like sports, you like sports.
Sure.
I've always said the thing that I love about sports, Kevin, is that anything can happen. And I think Kobe on any given night kind of proved that while he played, right? With 81 points,
yeah,
62 and three quarters.
The comeback against the Mavericks, obviously, that that whole game is iconic for all the unfortunate reasons for Mavericks fans. Some people shared their stories from the 214. I lost my wife in 2006, and the only thing that kept me alive was our three-year-old son. From the 214, I had a sister that died, and my parents had my brother and I to help them move on. And from Justin, my family lost my little sister when I was younger. By far the hardest thing my family's ever been through, but it brought us even that much closer and made our family stronger. Even in a dark time, there is that light. And I hope that is what happens. You know, it's just, I saw people talking about, well, you know, maybe his wife can rely on her faith and everything like that. And that is absolutely true. It's just sometimes that's hard to focus on in the moment. You know, like for people who are already saying that, I totally get that. It's just in the moment, it's hard to be like, well, I have my faith for me when you're dealing with like the immediacy of all of that. So I hope whatever gets that family through gets that family through. It's just, God, that is going to be crushingly difficult for them.
And
it would be for anybody.
And I don't think I think that's the thing, Kevin. Like, you see the impact it's having across the world. Here, all right, I want to go to the Mike Breen audio, Troy, if that's okay. Mike Breen's getting ready to call a game. And you saw, you know, Tyson Chandler and the Rockets crying.
Yeah.
You saw him cry there. This is what Mike Breen said before, as tip-off was about to happen for the Knicks game.
Welcome back to Madison Square Garden, where the Knicks and Nets will play on this unbelievably sad day for the NBA. And Clyde, on my way into the arena, I thought of Bill Gallo. Gallo is the legendary sports cartoonist that when Thurman Munson passed away, the next day he had an unbelievably touching cartoon. And it was his two characters that he had, Basement Bertha and Yucky. And the cartoon read, Basement Bertha saying, "No, Yucky, I just don't feel like playing ball today." And she was crying. And that's the way I think a lot of us feel here tonight. Just don't feel like broadcasting. I know a lot of the players, don't feel like playing. It's just a sad, sad day.
Now, Kevin, you and I didn't personally have interactions with him, but I know, like, if the basketball community, so many players that were, as you know, that were young and wanted to be Kobe growing up, they were affected by it. Teammates that he played with, guys that he competed against. Doug Collins' son, I don't know if you saw that, he's the head coach of Northwestern, he had about a 4-minute press conference after the game. He was like, "Look, my dad played with his dad. They were teammates. We grew up. We were friends. I was the worst basketball player out of the group of kids, but my sister,"
right,
he said his sister was born a month before Kobe. And so they were very attached. And so the community, the tentacles of the community spread so far, and so many people were involved with it. It's that many people felt that way yesterday. And they didn't cancel games or anything.
But there was that discussion for a minute, I saw.
Kevin, Broadus asked Jeff Kavanaugh this question. How hard is it as a media member to cover a tragic event live or the next day? Do you find yourself getting involved? We've had this happen too many times. Not this. This is a huge impact. But one of the first times we went in for a long extended period of time live was
Shannon Stone.
I remember. We were live when the Boston bombings happened.
Yep.
We've been on air for a lot of these situations. We went on the next morning after the Sandy Hook.
We were on when the explosion at West happened, when Pat Summerall died. And you know, one of the other things I thought about is there was a football coach at Prestonwood Christian who died while they were doing summer practices. And, you know, obviously this was in Plano. This is when I was at the Plano Star Courier. That's where we met. And, you know, I reached out to my people and I was like, look, the entire DFW tried to descend on Prestonwood because they wanted to get the story. And I was like, look, I'm not here to do a sensationalistic story. Like, I know that coach. I've met that coach. I've interviewed that coach. And, you know, I'm just trying to put out the story in the world. And so they brought me into Prestonwood and I sat in a room and they brought people to me one at a time from throughout the school and the community. And they just wanted to talk about their coach who had just died like within the last 24 hours.
And it's not easy.
No.
But I think as humans, we like to talk. And that kind of helps us get through life. You know, we talk about sports. We get sad after our team loses. This is something different.
Yeah, there. So many of them were, you're right, Corey, and I know we got to go, but so many of them were crying, but also so many of them were like happy to get to tell those stories. You know, like you could see them smile while they were crying because they were happy that they got to tell you the things about the person that they loved. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, where were you when you heard the Kobe news? It got broken to me by my son. Where were you? Autoflex Leasing Fantex 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
This has been absolutely beautiful, you guys. I can't believe it's come to an end. You guys will always be in my heart. And I sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. No words can describe how I feel about you guys. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you guys. And what can I say? Mamba out.
That was Kobe Bryant from his retirement, thanking everybody, thanking his fans. At 877-881-1053. Yesterday, where were you when everything happened? Whenever you learned about it, everybody has kind of a weird way. I don't know if you saw this. Tom Izzo was getting ready to do an interview on live TV, and he whispers to Cassius Winston, one of his star players. He whispers to him, "Hey, Kobe just died in a helicopter accident." And you can see Cassius go, "Kobe?" And he's on live TV.
Wow.
And he looks at him and he says, "Yeah." And he says, "Kobe Bryant?" And he's like, "Yeah." And you could just see this look of, I told my wife yesterday, she didn't believe me. I was like, no, she was like, what kind of joke is this? And she was staring at my face trying to figure out, hey, what's going on here? Where were you? What happened yesterday? Kevin, Tiger Woods was coming off the
yeah.
course. And Troy, if you could play Tiger Woods' cut here, he's walking off the course. His caddy tells him, and he looks over him and says, "Excuse me?" And he's like, TV, keep walking. But this is Tiger Woods right after he got off the course.
What will you remember most about him as a player, but most importantly, as a man and father?
The fire. He burned so competitively hot, and the desire to win. He brought it each and every night on both ends of the floor. I mean, not too many guys can say that throughout NBA history that he'd lock up on D. Obviously, he was dominant on the offensive side, but anytime he was in the game, he'd take on their best player and shut him down for, you know, all 48 minutes. And that was one of the more impressive things, I think, throughout this entire career. And then, you know, when he ruptured his Achilles and went to the foul line and made his shots, I mean, that's tough.
So there's another really interesting part of that went with that interview that kind of strikes me about, you know, what we were just talking about. Is he said he heard some people in the crowd say, "Do it for Mamba." And he said he didn't understand what that meant. And then when he was informed of that, then it all kind of came into focus. And so this is how I found out. Autoflex Leasing Fantex 877-881-1053. How did you find out? At 1:56, I got a text from my son. And he said, "Dude, this Kobe stuff is crazy." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And then he just responded, "Helicopter crash." I was like, "What?" And look, I love my son, and he's very smart, but he's not necessarily my number one source that I go to for news all the time. So I really didn't quite understand. And so then I jumped on social media, and I was like, "What the hell?" And it was so, yeah, I found out from my son. I was pretty shocked by that.
I at 1:50, I got a text from my mom, and you know, my mom's up to date on a lot of stuff. She always has been. She's one of those current events people. And so I was like, "Hold on, what?" So I went on to social media and was like, "Oh, wow." And so, like, you know, I'm obviously checking sources and everything to confirm a lot of stuff there. And I didn't know what to say or do. Like, at what point do I have to say anything on Twitter about it? Do I have to mention it? Do I have to, you know, put myself out there on this? I was getting my oil changed, and the mechanic walks in and he's like, Mr. Majors, I got your oil. We're all set and ready to go. And I said, all right, cool. And he looked at me and he said, man, did you hear about what's going on? And I was like, yeah, I did. And he started crying.
Wow.
And he was like, I'm having a hard time. I'm sorry. And I was like, nah, man, just let it go. You know, we're all in this. We're all in part of this together. Let it out. And he literally was breaking down right in front of me. And I reached over and put my hand on his shoulder. And he just came in and gave me a hug. He was like, he was my favorite player. You know, he was younger too. So like, this is a guy that's just kind of, this might be the first experience with something like this he's ever had. But I was like, no, I totally understand the emotion of this. Kevin, I saw a tweet that came in that said I was playing golf and I found out on the 18th hole I didn't want to finish.
Wow, even on the last hole?
Yeah, okay. No, and I totally get that. Like, this is one of those moments. It was, like, I kept seeing gut punch from people tweeting out yesterday, Kevin, that they felt like they got punched in the stomach, because this was for some people, it was their hero. You know, it was their hero basketball player. He did the things they expected him to do. He was the extension of Michael Jordan. As for anybody that didn't see Michael Jordan play, was he as close as you could possibly get to seeing him play?
Oh, absolutely.
He replicated everything he did.
Second best shooting guard of all time. I make a pretty strong argument about that.
You seen the video? I know CA posted it on Twitter yesterday, but you saw that video, and we've seen it before. The compilation of all the shots that Kobe mimicked that Jordan had. If you haven't seen that yet, go check it out. It's haunting. To see how much he tried to be like them. So for this generation, that was their guy.
The 830, I was walking around Deep Ellum taking photos with friends, and a random person on the street told one of us, immediately looked it up online because I thought they were joking or mistaken. I was from the 214. I was at IHOP enjoying breakfast with my family and when my daughter told me. I told her it was fake. Then the restaurant got eerily quiet. Man, that is really interesting to me because that news does, you know, spread really quickly. I would be willing to guess that within the span of what, like 20 minutes, a ton of people across the country, across the world knew about this because it spreads so quickly. And that is really interesting how fast that would circulate through like a public place, because you mentioned like how well known he was. You know, Kobe Bryant is a person that even if you don't care about basketball, like surely you've heard of him. You know, like if you were with somebody or somebody in your life who doesn't care about sports at all, if you said Kobe Bryant, they would probably like, oh yeah, I've heard of him. He played basketball, right? Or he was a Laker. Like he was somebody big enough that you would have heard of him no matter what.
Yeah, my kid's piano instructor isn't a sports fan, but she posted a video of him playing Moonlight Sonata with a string quartet. And she, you know, so that's, again, you're right. Movies, he won an Oscar. And I know you were like, that's kind of weird.
It's bizarre when you think about, like, it has nothing to do with, like, the legitimacy of the work. It's just bizarre when you think about, yes, oh, Kobe Bryant played, two decades with the Lakers and won an Oscar. Like, that's not a sentence that sounds like a normal thing, you know? That'd be like, oh, then Dirk Nowitzki next year won the Nobel Peace Prize. I'd be like, oh, that's strange. You know, like, I just don't, you don't think of connecting those things.
Yeah, and then you go see, you know, I one of the videos of him talking to Nick Saban's team. Nick Saban sitting in the audience with his players, taking notes from Kobe Bryant talking while another guy's up there moderating with him, and Kobe's talking about excellence and why he played with excellence, why he wanted to play that way. He was like, look, because even if it was the Knicks at Madison Square Garden or if it was the Kings, Phoenix, whoever it was, I was giving the same effort every night. And so that's the one thing that I think that connected across universally from business to sports, to music, to movies, whatever, is that this guy had this mentality of, I want to be excellent, and if you want that, I've done it. I got the skins on the wall to prove it. And so that's where I think a lot of people just said, okay, if I'm going to admire the point of excellence, I'm going to look at that and that work ethic that it takes. And have you seen the commercial? It's an old commercial with Kanye, and Kobe's given like mama mentality speech, and Kanye is like, how can I be better? And he's like, more. And he's like, but how can I sell more records? And he's like, more. And he's like, but how can I be the best in my industry? More. And he's like, what does that even mean? And he says, you're welcome. And that's the mindset that goes on there, and that's why so many other people that are industry leaders and whatever they do look to him and said, hey, I'd love to have him speak.
There are so many texts coming in out of Flex Leasing Fan Text 877-881-1053. The 817, man, what a turn of events this must have been. I initially thought, when I saw the Kobe stuff, I thought it was going to be a Hall of Fame announcement of some sort. And obviously, totally different. From the 254, I was out and about, and someone got an update, and I snapped at them because I thought it was a hoax. From the 940, I had just eaten lunch with my six-year-old daughter. I got in the car, and it was on 105.3 The Fan. I heard the news. I was in shock.
Yeah, a ton of people saying they heard about it on The Fan.
Yeah, and
I appreciate you listening.
I mean, that is a weird time to promote, but I do have to say, like, when you're live and local every single day, it's unfortunate that that's why it was good that we were live and local yesterday. But I
bet people needed to talk yesterday,
yeah,
man.
No, absolutely.
People needed to text in and get their emotions out.
And I know Fish jumped on air, and I know Will was on air. And like, I know that, like, that's the thing is sometimes when things come up, because I know that you guys were like on air when Muhammad Ali died, and sometimes like it's cathartic for you as well to talk about it and be able to, like, because I have no doubt that the people broadcasting were in shock as well. Like, it's not like we get some heads up a day before, hey, this important sports figure is going to die. Like, I found out at the same time as everybody else, and it sounds like maybe a few minutes after a lot of people, and I was like, wait, what? And that's why, like, nothing against my son, but when he told me that, I was like, that cannot be accurate.
From the 803, got a text from a fellow Lakers fan while eating lunch. Thought it was a hoax. Got to a local butcher shop, and we all just stood there in silence. And then from this person, this is wild. The 214, I was looking at my wife's pregnancy test when I found out.
Shut up. I mean, congratulations. I hope it went the way you wanted it to go. But, God, that's wild.
I was packing up my room and heard about it and stopped because I was so shocked. Listen, man, this is more records. I don't know of another, again, an athlete as close to their prime, an athlete that had so many other connections across so many other avenues that had an impact the way that he did. And then even if you're not a sports fan, if you're not anything else, but if you're a father or a daughter, and you opened Twitter yesterday and you saw the video that's been up for a while of him and his daughter at the basketball game, and I still don't have a clue what he was telling her, actually. It seemed like he was telling her something about the game, or it kind of looks like in every quarter I would do this. And they kind of were having, but she smiles and laughs, and they both just, they were sharing something. That's one of the reasons he was taking her, Kevin. He was taking her to those games because she wanted to be good. She wanted to play basketball. And he was like, well, I can show you the game. I can teach you more than you'll ever need to know about this game. And so that was his connection, was his opportunity to take his kids. So if you're a parent or even a daughter, my wife yesterday was hurting because she was thinking about her dad, and he's still alive, but their connection and their friendship and how they've grown together, and watching that was in such an infancy of its stage of parenting right there, and it's gone.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, and look, I think I should probably throw this out there because I've only seen a couple of people. There's a lot of different angles to this Kobe Bryant story, and we have other football content for you today, and Nick Castellanos did not sign with the Texas Rangers. He, in fact, signed with the Cincinnati Reds. So we'll be sure to bring you any other breaking sports news of the day, but this is the thing that is taking over, and people want to talk about it, and quite frankly, I know we want to talk about it, and there's a whole bunch of other angles to it as well. So I hope you guys will roll with us all day today. Coming up next, here's what actually happened with the Kobe crash yesterday. And did you get caught up in any of the false news reports? What can be done about people who just flat out were wrong? All that plus your chance to win $1,000 next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. This text from the 469 is phenomenal. The psychology of mourning someone you didn't even know this much is fascinating.
It really is. Like, you know what I compare it to, and this will be weird for some people, is I remember back at, just stick with me because you'll be like, I don't care, but you will care, maybe, is WrestleMania 24 when Ric Flair retired, sort of. In his loss to Shawn Michaels, I was at a bar or a wing place watching it, and people were like openly weeping when he retired. And I thought, huh, interesting. Like, I mean, I thought it was an emotional moment, and I know I'm different than a lot of people, but just to see people like openly crying about it, and they had never even met that person just because he had meant so much to them. I think this is a very similar situation. Like, I am also fascinated by people's emotional reactions to someone who they never even met. But think about how many people in your life have you never met that like impact so much of what you do? You know, like if you I know you've met Dirk, but if you had never met Dirk, like he meant so much to your life.
Yeah.
And like there's entertainment people, there's athletes that you have stopped down and watched time and time and time again that you've never met, but they feel like a huge part of your life.
Oh yeah, you're absolutely right about that, man. There are times when something happens and you're just like, man, I admire, like I said, I admired him from afar, but I started liking this newer version of him even more. Because he wasn't a beating my favorite team. And you know what? There's another part too, and this sounds dumb, but the fact that the Mavericks got past his team in the dominant fashion that they got to, you know, like that helped me as a sports fan move on. Because otherwise I probably would have always held this bad grudge towards him sports wise. Sure. But the Mavericks beat his team on the way to their championship.
Yes, they did.
You know, so like that was kind of the passing of the torch there, where I was like, here we go, man. Like we, and while that team wasn't great and they weren't, you know, the Mavericks did it in dominant fashion, that was a gate. That was that you know, the gate that you had to pass through to get there. You had to beat the best. And he was the best.
Sure.
And that's, I think that's, again, you just heard the commercial with Kanye. And
commercial's amazing.
Yeah, and more. That's just what the dude strove for. He didn't care. He was waking up at 2 a.m. to go shoot baskets because he couldn't get it over his head that I didn't do what I needed to do in this game. I can be better. And so he attempted to be better. Now, Kevin, the helicopter had 8 other passengers. It could also hold 12 plus 2 pilots. And I'm told that it was like the limousine of helicopters. And we're about to get into the media part of this, Kevin, and that's the discussion that's really tough. But they were about 30 miles northwest of Los Angeles. They were traveling.
Calabasas, yeah.
Yeah, they were traveling at like 1,200 feet. And they needed to be up at like 2,000.
Oh.
And they were being told that they were too low. At about 1,200 feet was too low. And so the pilot said, I'm going to go above the layer. And so he was trying to get above the fog. Now, in that instance, that's where he got lost. It descended about 1,400 feet, according to the flight trader 24 flight radar, and it was going about 184 miles an hour, about 4,000 feet per minute in descent.
Jesus.
And what I understand in this moment, Kevin, it was, based on everything I've heard and read, it seems like coming out of the fog, or maybe even in the fog, crash.
Okay.
And so it was, they're going.
Yeah.
They got lost, but they didn't spiral out of control and fall. It was maybe even nobody realized what was happening until the last second.
You know, and that's a really curious thing that I was just thinking when you were describing that. Would you want to know that you were going to be dead in a minute? Like, if you knew it was going to be a minute, would you want it to just happen, or would you want a minute to, I guess, like, tell your daughter everything about her? Or I don't know. Whatever you would do in that minute. So, try to call somebody.
So you know how, like, cool of a character you think Kobe is?
Sure.
The Matt Barnes video where he fakes throwing the ball at him, which we later saw wasn't really that anyway. But we always thought that dude has ice water running through his veins.
Right.
You know that video of him sitting down talking to his daughter that everybody's talking about, sure, that I was just talking about a few minutes ago? Somebody tweeted and said, in my mind, this is Kobe telling his daughter that everything's going to be okay.
In that time?
That even in that situation, he would, because there's a fascinating piece of audio that I need to find, where he was asked about his relationship with death, and he said,
"Oh,
and I can't, really? I don't know why they were discussing this, but I saw it last night, and he was like, hey, so you know, what's your feeling with that? And he was like, comfort, because I know I've done everything. You know, that's why he wore 24.
Sure.
Because treat every day as like it's your last. But he was like, because I'm comfortable with it, because I did everything. I've done everything. I'm doing everything that I can each day to make sure I live it all. And so there is a comfort with accepting that it's going to happen anyway, but how do I live while I'm here? And so that part of it, Kevin, whenever somebody tweeted that other part out yesterday of this is how I imagined his conversation with his daughter, I don't know if they had. I don't know if they did. And we'll never know. Just like the movie The Perfect Storm, we'll never really know what happened in this moment. But that's a remarkable way to think, hey, I looked over at my daughter and I said, we're going to be fine. Because, I mean, ultimately, that's where they are, where they are now. So, Kevin, there is this part, though, that you have a big problem with. And I think the rest of the journalism world has a big problem with, too.
No, do they? Because I don't think they're going to stop doing it.
We should.
I agree.
But the idea of being first has mattered so much to people.
Yep.
Because a lot of journalists say, a lot of people will say journalists are the only ones that care about getting the story first.
Please.
Because people have to credit it, right? Like even ESPN said, and confirmed by Woj.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, look, if you think that journalists are the only ones who care, what do you tweet out? You tweet out where you saw it first. So you care too. You just might not realize that you care, but you do care. And so during the Pro Bowl, there was a bit that went out there into the world that his four daughters, I know they just had a newborn last year, but that his four daughters were dead. That Kobe Bryant and his four daughters had died. And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, I was told that.
And then they were like, oh, never mind. There's just one daughter. Oh, okay. So what happens to ABC now? Like, you think about it. If in so many other things, if you said something just flat out egregious and wrong and inappropriate, you would be punished. You see that with people all the time in the media. If you do something wrong or say something wrong, you get punished or whatever. What's going to happen to ABC News? Nothing? Are people going to stop trusting them? Are people going to unfollow them on Twitter? Are people going to stop liking them on Facebook? Are people going to stop watching the ABC News specifically because ABC like flat out went with an unreliable source?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
One of the, you know, Kevin, you and I were brought up in the newspaper world.
Sure.
To write a story, it's live, it's there, right? So if it's printed, somebody has a portion of it that shows you screwed up, you effed up real bad.
Yep.
And they come tell you about it, they email you about it, your boss has to come to have a discussion with you about it. So it is your responsibility to make sure you go through the proper sources of getting the story. Now, newspaper, here's the way it works. Radio is what's happening right now. Newspaper is what happened yesterday. And TV is what's going to happen. That's kind of how the industry looks at everything.
Okay.
TV is kind of always taking that advanced look at the next things of things. And radio is your presence. The newspaper business was what was in the past. So newspaper could stand to be a little bit behind on things as long as the story was right, because somebody was going to sit down, open the paper, and look through it.
Yep.
But man, if there was an error, they circled it in a big red marker and they sent it into the editor.
Yep.
With radio,
yep,
you know, and TV, you have that responsibility. You have that responsibility to tell that part of the story, and it's important for you to be correct. Because, Kevin, if you hang your hat on, our news is first, our news is accurate, our information is going to be the one that you have to be here for. Like, this is why you listen. This is why you do this. Because we do this stuff, then we got to get it right. And I don't know that ABC hangs their hat on that. I don't know that ABC News hangs their hat on that. I think they hang their hat on, we are going to be present at all the big events. We're going to be around all the things that are going on. We're also owned by Disney. You know, like that's, I think that's one of those things that goes into it. And no, I don't think they're going to get dinged. I don't think there's any repercussion for this. Why would there be? Other than maybe a few people turn away and say, all right, I'll follow somebody else, or I'll seek another source whenever it comes to finding that information out.
Yeah, and you know, and we had the debate about, you know, the legitimacy of TMZ releasing the news before. Word going around is that TMZ got word from the sheriff's department, which is a whole other thing. How much did they pay to get that information from the sheriff's department? And that was before his family had found out, and they released the news before his family found out. And I just saw someone text in, and we're getting a lot of feedback, and so I'm not sure the number, I apologize, but they said, I would rather his family find out first than to get the news sooner. And I appreciate that, but I would say somebody else will do it. You know, like if it wasn't TMZ Sports, somebody else would have done it. It could have been whatever ABC News or whatever your news outlet of choice is. Somebody else would have heard the story and they would have put it out there.
Kevin, you asked earlier like how you would handle that moment. Would you rather know for a few minutes or not know? And from the 559, I can 100% answer that. I was in Hawaii when the ballistic missile alert went off on my phone. We knew that it was legitimate and we had 10 to 15 minutes before the missile reached land. I could never explain that moment in a text, but I'm telling you, I'd rather die immediately than trying to get the final goodbyes in or not being able to get through because everyone's doing it. It was terrible.
God, man, that's, holy crap, is that intense? Because what did I just throw out to you? Like, think about it. I panicked in a fake situation where I told you have a minute to live, and I was like, would you call your, I don't know. I panicked, and that situation isn't even actually happening. It is a hypothetical situation that I made up, and I still freaked out about it. I cannot fathom what that person went through, what anybody would go through if you knew you had 1 minute, 10 minutes, whatever, to live.
And here's that audio of Kobe. This is kind of haunting. But this is Kobe talking about death.
I gotta ask, because I feel like the setting is begging for it. What's your relationship with death?
A comfortable one.
Yeah?
It's a comfortable one. It's an understanding. You can't have life without death, can't have light without the dark, right? So it's an acceptance of that. When it came time to decide whether or not I should retire, that's really an acceptance of that mortality that all athletes face, right? And if you combat it, you'll have always that inner struggle within yourself, right, you know what right, I mean? Right. And so it's, I'm comfortable with it.
Wow, that's from The Ringer. Golly.
By the way, this segment brought to you by Mesquite Mitsubishi Outlander Sport SUV starting at 16.9. Visit mymitsu.com.
I know a lot of downtrodden stuff today, something that could pick you up, the potential to win $1,000. Text GOAL. GOAL, that's GOAL, to 72881. Your opportunity to win $1,000 as part of our national contest. Every single weekday, every single hour during our show, we got a new word for you. The word right now is GOAL. Text that to 72881. Coming up next, the Mavericks essentially retired Kobe Bryant's jersey number yesterday. What do y'all think about that? Autoflex Leasing, Fantex, 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.